I tell you, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I said, it's a good thing to give praise to the Lord. Amen? And so this morning, because there's fewer people, you need to shout louder. You know, we are talking about the goodness of God today. And I've contemplated this, I've studied this, and the more I studied it, the more I got excited about it. This morning, we're going to deal with the goodness of God. God is good. All the time, God is good. Today, this morning, we're going to deal with the goodness of God. Tonight, we're going to talk about me and you and how we can be good. Turn to your neighbor and say, please come back tonight because you need it. Go ahead, tell him. It's all right. It's all right. All of us need it. All of us need it. The fruit of the Spirit, this series is rocking my world. I thought I'd preach something everybody needs. I certainly didn't need it. Boy, did I found out that I needed it. Has anybody been enjoying it? Has anybody been going home beat up? Band-aids, cut, bruised. Okay, a couple of you. Well, it's awesome to pastor such an incredibly holy church. We love you. Either way, we win, right? So we're talking about the goodness of God. And I thought to give a theology of the goodness of God is important because in our culture today, we think about goodness. We say, oh, Pastor Ron, that was a good sermon. You know, and boy, that was good fellowship. That was good fellowship. That was a good song, you know. And Tori, you did good this morning. Right? Didn't she do good this morning? I thought she did great this morning. Thank you for taking care of that. Elizabeth, thank you for taking care of last week. Help me praise God for these ladies who help fill the gap when Chrissy is out and Taylor is out. We have people who can stand in, fill the gap. But so in our worldview of good, the worldview of culture view of good means that it's relevant or it's kind of... It's good if you think it's good, right? It's kind of if you think it's good. Whatever's good for you, good. That is the culture we live in, and it's not a good culture, right? So whatever seems good to you. Relative. It's relative to you. So in an American Idol culture, Rick, in an American Idol culture, you know, some after I preach today, some of you lift up a sign and say 10, some of you will say 2. And that's why I don't let you bring signs in the service. Because I'm not here to be judged about the performance. I mean, no, this is not a performance. This is your pastor teaching the word of God to you so that we can all grow in faith. That's what this is. And so, but our world measures everything relative to what they think is good and what they think is not good. So the goodness of God is not that. Today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the goodness of God, focusing on Him this morning, us tonight. And I think that if we can get Him down, understanding how good God is, it'll help us to know because we're to receive the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And there's lots of words that kind of synonymous of goodness, light, purity, moral perfectness, all these things, righteousness, goodness, all these things, kindness last week we dealt with and would be parallel to goodness. Except that the fact is, God is good. The very essence of who He is good, right? So part 6 here, Psalm 27 and verse 13. I don't know if we have that verse up, but I'd like to look at it. David said, I would have lost not only my heart, but I would have lost my mind had it been that I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This psalm is one of Melissa's favorite psalms. And David goes on. He's really running. He's running from Saul. He's been chased like a wild animal. How many know life can bring some heartache to you? You can feel run down and run out and just weak and vulnerable. And lots of things can go on. We're all being attacked. How many know there's a real devil who's trying to really disappoint and discourage and bring doubt and confusion into your spirit? To steal your peace, rob you of your joy, take away your love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Did anybody lose their patience this week? Praise God then. Yeah, you still have it. You can lose it next week. How many glad that when you lose it, God can help you get it back? So we're not talking in this series about perfect people. We're talking about people who are Pentecostal, who are Spirit-filled, trying to walk in the will of God. We're trying to walk in line with the will of God. Walking in the Spirit means getting in alignment with the will of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And David said, man, I think I had a lost heart. And you know what pastor's favorite verse in the Bible is? And Hebrews, right? And don't grow weary, right? I mean, Galatians, I'm sorry, 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good, for you shall reap if you don't give up. That David said, I would have given up had I not believed that I would see. That is future tense. I would see. Okay, so right now, David is not actually seeing. Okay, he's being chased like a wild man in the forest, eating berries, I guess, and hiding in caves and sleeping with fear and timidity by this king who's chasing him down. So he don't see it. How many's ever been where you can't see it, but you still know it's real? That's exactly what David's saying. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Where? Not in heaven, but in the land of the living. So David's still alive. He's feeling half dead, but he's still alive. And he would have given up. He would have given up had he not saw the goodness of the Lord. And if there's anything I want you to get today, I want you to see the goodness of the Lord. And this morning, the Lord of goodness. Okay, the Lord of goodness, the goodness of the Lord. Goodness belongs to the Lord. How many heard the phrase, the joy of the Lord? That's because the joy belongs to the Lord. The goodness of the Lord means the goodness belongs to the Lord. It's who he is. He don't even have it, he is it, right? The love of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, right? So these fruit come from him. So for us tonight to be able to gather in our minds and understand what we need to do to be good, or to have the fruit of goodness, we need to really understand where it's coming from. So when we speak of good, we tend to lose the impact of the biblical meaning because of the culture. I said earlier, it takes away the real meaning. I told Tori, I love the old Crystal Lewis song, God's been good to me. Oh, God's always been good. It's 93, and some of you weren't born. Tell everybody ought to know, right? I think everybody ought to know about the goodness of the Lord. We should be testifying. We are God's people. We should be elated about the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? And so it's a powerful topic. I hope I can do it justice today. And maybe we miss out on how vital goodness is until we miss goodness. You know, it's all that's left is badness. Can I tell you, without the Lord, it's bad. 1 second after the rapture, the church will be full. I wish somebody would help me now. You want revival? 1 second after the church is taken out of here, the house of God will be full. Full of people repenting and crying and saying, I knew it, I heard it, I didn't believe it. Or I took God's goodness for granted. So I'm not so worried about the church being full today. I wish it was. But I guarantee if you missed the rapture, you better find you a Bible and a church as fast as you can. In fact, more importantly, find Jesus. Because that's the only way to heaven, right? And so when we look at the world and see a lack of goodness, the Lord knows our culture is inundated with bad or the lack of goodness. And we can even look at scandals in the church and find badness in the church even. Y'all need to help me preach today. But when we look at our God, you will find nothing but good. Because God is good. And I hope you really get it. It might be redundant and I might say it 1,000 times. But God is good. And so let's take a closer look at our own lives. Is there goodness present in your life? Is there goodness present in my life? Without goodness, it's relative. So we'll deal with the fruit of goodness tonight. But like other fruit, we want to give you the definition of goodness. The definition of goodness. Let's look at the definition. Only God is ultimately good. And then you remember theologically we all know God is good. Remember, Jesus was approached by the young ruler and said, "Good teacher." The young ruler said, "Good teacher." And Jesus said, "Whoa, cowboy." That's my paraphrase. It was not in the Bible. "Whoa, cowboy" is not in the Bible. I just wonder if you're listening to me. "Whoa, turbo. Call nobody good, only God is good." So the Jehovah's Witness made a major mistake by saying that verse means that Jesus is denying his own deity. Jesus is not denying his deity. How many know Jesus is the Lord? What he's saying is, hey, hey you, goodness is standing right in front of you. I am the Lord. Really, he wasn't denying deity. He is deity. Jesus is the goodness of God, right? We'll get to that later in the sermon, but this guy wants to know, right? He's saying, how will I inherit eternal life? Good teacher. He said, "Why do you call me good? Nobody is good but God alone." So he's not denying it. He's trying to help this young man understand what true goodness is. God is goodness. Goodness is the absence of defect or flaw or complete wholeness. In that sense, no man is good. In your flesh is no good thing. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit in our spirit. That's why we need to receive by faith the fruit of the Spirit so that his goodness can become our goodness. His joy becomes our joy. Are you with me? So goodness is completely God. And in man there is no good thing. So God is good, and good is God's love extended to us in Christ. In fact, I don't know how many other people have done this, but I've taken the word good, G-O-O-D. I've always said that the word good is God extended. God. I knew I was all alone in that. Not everybody does play with words, but good is God. God is good. Are you hearing me? Okay, that's my thing. You can go home now. So the Bible definition of goodness means that God meets the standard of perfection, for he is the standard. There is no other standard. He is the standard. Are you with me? There's no higher standard. He defines goodness as he does righteousness and purity. His goodness includes his opposition to and separation from evil. There is no evil in our God, only good, right? He is morally and intrinsically pure and upright. In him is no evil. 1 John 1 and 15, God 1 and 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. Light is another one of those words for goodness. God is love. God is goodness. God is light. God is goodness. Because there is no darkness in him, right? And so nothing evil in God, nothing unappealing. Nothing unattractive. Are y'all hearing me? Everything beautiful. Everything good. There's no thing unpleasant or unpraiseworthy about our God. In fact, when we're tempted to think so, we ought to conclude that the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Are you hearing me? So when we think God is not good to you, the problem is not with God. He's still good. The problem is with you. So we got to figure that out and get it right, because so many people say, if God is so good, if God is such a loving God, Jamie, then why this in my life? See that? If God loves me and God's good to me, why don't he meet every need I have and do everything I need? And there's a reason for that, right? God created everything and said it was good. I said God spoke it all into existence and said it is good, right? But then after that, Adam and Eve came and was deceived. God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so instead of trusting God to be good and leaving the tree alone, are y'all with me? Instead of leaving the tree alone, don't touch that tree. Don't do that. Trust me. I'm good. I'm all you need. Trust me. I'll be good to you. But they ate of the fruit, and hey, boy. then they understood good and evil. Evil. Evil came in. Are you with me? So the option now has come. Now in me, I have been born because of the first Adam. I've been born with a sinful nature. I was born bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were born bad. And I don't mean bad in a good sense of the word. I don't mean like bad. I mean bad. You see how our culture can take a word and make bad sound good? In fact, the Bible says in the last days, good shall be spoken evil of, and evil will be good. How many know it's going to be reversed because Satan is trying to reverse the curse and make everybody think that bad is good and good is bad? But how many know it's still good? God is still good. I don't want to confuse you. It sounds like I might have taken you down a bad path. But we're not fully good yet. I said we're not fully good yet because inside of me I have the sinful nature, and then I have a spirit nature. So I have the first Adam, sin. I was born in sin. Second Adam, Jesus. I'm born again. How many glad to be born again? And for those who live godly in Christ Jesus, hey, you will suffer persecution. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. I know you're wishing good things didn't happen to bad people, but it does. Remember last week, it rains on the just and the unjust. God is kind to everybody because he's the boss. How many figure out that God's the boss? Anybody wake up one day and just say, oh, it's not about me, it's about him. He does whatever he wants. God has this incredible prerogative. God does whatever God wants to do because he answers to no one. He is God and he is good. So it takes complete trust and faith to believe that whatever's going on in your life, God's going to work it out for good. Romans 8, right? I said, does anybody believe God's going to work it out for good? It may not seem good at the moment, but God's going to take that which was meant for evil and turn it into good. It's the theme of the Bible, my friends. James chapter 1. I don't know if you have James 1, but it says, when tempted, nobody should say God is tempting us. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But everyone is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Verse 17, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above. If you have something good, it comes from God, right? If it's good, it comes from God. But Eve, she said, oh, it looks good, but that was relative. God said, don't eat that tree. But she looked at that tree and said, it looks good. So you can't. Good without God is bad news. It looks good. It seems good. But it's not good. How many believe God knows what's good for you? He's not going to tempt you. He cannot be tempted. God alone is good. Right? And every good, perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, the Father of goodness, who does not change like shifting shadows. So God alone is good. Are we clear yet? All right, I'm glad one or two of you getting it. So that means he's pure, he's opposed to all evil, he never tempts or tempts anyone or is tempted because he hates evil and he never changes. God never changes. I said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is anybody glad about that? Okay, he's not wishy-washy. God's not changing his mind. God didn't decide to be good to you today because you got saved. He was good to you before you ever got saved, while you were still a sinner. You see that? While I was away from God, he was still being good to me. I didn't deserve it. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. Is anybody thankful for the goodness of God in the land of the living? See that? And so he's saying is that I cannot change. If God changed for the better, friends, listen to me, that would mean he previously lacked in goodness. God can't get any better because God is God. God is good. And if God, listen, if God changed for the worse, it would cease to be perfect in his goodness. He can't be not good. So there's the theology of the goodness of God. I hope you got it. I hope you're not as confused as the way you look. So if you don't get anything else today, understand God is good. The psalm says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? for he is good. Would you do me a favor right now? Would you lift your hands to the Lord and thank the Lord for his goodness? Just think about his goodness. Just think about it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you have been good to me. When I wasn't good to myself, you were good to me. You are intrinsically, incredibly good, morally right and pure, perfectly right and holy and loving and merciful and kind. You, O God, are good and patient and worthy to be praised. Would you give him praise this morning? Come on, just give him praise. That is God's ultimate is good. So there are four elements of his goodness I want to just bring out real quickly. Number one, he is the source of all that is good. God is the source of all that is good. Everything that I just read to you in James, every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's the source of all. If you have good anywhere around you, if there's ever been good come to you, it was from the Lord. Whether you realized it or not, whether you took it for granted or not, God, if you're breathing right now, you ought to give God praise because he gave you that breath. And I know you're just absorbing this so much that it's just you just can't even think and talk. But it's where all goodness flows from. He is the creator of all good, the author of all good. And when God began creating, he looked and said, it was good. Not only is he a source of all good, he is the essence of good. He is good. It'd be better to say, instead of saying God is good, it would be better to say God is goodness itself. That God is goodness itself. That's what God is. He's all good all the time. There's never a break. There's never a time when God's not good. Are you with me? And then thirdly, he is immeasurably good. There's no limit. No limit to his goodness in your life. He is immeasurably good. And so if it's up there, you could switch it because they will only take notes if you switch it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're like, oh, what happened? What happened? The thing didn't work. I'm leaving. This is not working. I'm leaving. If you could hear me, you could still take the notes whether that works or not, okay? Number three, he is immeasurably good. There is no limit to his goodness. Infinitely good. We are his creation, and we are limited according to what he gives us. According to what he gives us. So you have this sinful nature and you have this spirit nature. If you receive from the Lord any goodness, then you can possibly have been provided something to give to somebody else. In fact, that's God's goal. God wants to give you goodness, the fruit of goodness, so you can give it away, not to hoard it and hide it and keep it. God said, I'm going to give it to you so you can give it away. The fruit of the Spirit is for you to show God to the world. This is who God is, right? You say, you think I'm good. You know, you think I'm good. I've had people I've led to the Lord. They call me on the phone. I had my nephew, Tommy, call me from Oklahoma City. He said, Uncle Ronnie calls me Uncle Ronnie. I've led more people as Uncle Ronnie to the Lord than I have as Pastor Ron. My nieces and nephews need a lot. So Uncle Ronnie, my friend, is about to commit suicide, and he needs somebody to talk to. And I told him, I don't have a clue. I don't even go to church, my nephew said. But my Uncle Ronnie is a preacher. He knows everything. Some people are very deceived. Anyway, I said, hey, Tommy, tell Larry to call me. His name was Larry. Larry called me, and ring, ring. Ms. Carol said, hey, Larry's on the phone. I said, Larry, your nephew's friend. I said, hello, Larry. Hi, Uncle Ronnie. Larry called me Uncle Ronnie. Larry never met me in his life. I'm just trying to give you all this point. The point is that you are Jesus with skin on. Do you understand? Larry, listen to Larry now. Watch this. Larry had a good friendship with Tommy. So Tommy told Larry that Uncle Ronnie could help him. So Larry believed that I was the answer to his problem. So I go, hey, how can I help you? Oh, Uncle Ronnie said, you know, your nephew Tommy, he told you what I'm going through. He said, my wife just left me. I'm contemplating suicide. Said, I'm losing my job. I'm just, it's over. I said, Larry, how do you think I, Uncle Ronnie, can help you? He said, I don't know, Uncle Ronnie. Tommy said you could, so I just thought you could. Now, how many know that's faith? I said, you believe? I had to ask him. I said, wait a minute. Max, I said, Larry, let me get this straight. Tommy told you that I can help you, so you called me and you believe that I can help you and you will be helped? Yes, sir. For one split second, I thought I was the Messiah. But I got in my right mind and I said, oh, Larry, Larry boy, do I have a friend for you? And I put on VeggieTales and led him to Jesus. No, I'm teasing. I know. I said, if you're willing to believe that I can help you, wait till I introduce you to somebody who really can. So the goodness in me, see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will shed abroad, the Holy Spirit will shed abroad the love of God in your heart so that men might see your good works, and glorify who? The Father which is in heaven. It's not about us. God's doing something in us so we can be good to somebody else so God can get the glory. God is good. He's working it out. He may use you. He may use Uncle Ronnie. The point is, people have a lot of needs, and God is wanting to help us, and there's no limit to the goodness of God, the bottomlessness of his goodness. When it comes to his goodness, if we are to be like him, we are to take his goodness seriously. We'll talk more about that tonight. But one man was writing on the goodness of God, and he said, his goodness is an ocean that has no shore, a mountain that has no summit, a road that has no end. His goodness is not meager but much, not skimpy but sufficient, not little but limitless, not barely but bountiful, not feeble but full. How many know you'll never limit the goodness of God? Immeasurable, immeasurable. And finally, his goodness is eternal and unchanging, eternally good. He forever will be good. Amen? He will forever be good. He was good in the beginning. He will be good. He's good now, and he will be good in the future. So here's the serious thing, because Satan, when he wants to disturb your peace, take your joy, rob you of your patience and your love and your goodness, he will tell you that God is not good. It's his number one lie. It's his number one go-to. In fact, Satan said it to Eve. God's not good to you, Eve. He's actually withholding something good from you. And that's why he doesn't want you to eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. See that? And Eve's like, well, if you eat, then you'll be God, like he's God. Can I tell you right now? You will never be eternally good until you get to heaven. When your body is changed from this old body to the next, how many know God's going to give us goodness, eternal goodness? But right now... I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to try to be nice. But you're not that good. I'm not that good. In fact, they paid the Pharisees to be good, right? I said they paid the Pharisees to be good. You and I are just good for nothing. So, I'm glad you got that out of the way. God never started to be good because he was always good, and he will never cease to be good because he will be good forever, and that's good news. Amen? His goodness to his people will go without end. And that's why Psalm 43:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good, and God does good, and he is a good, good father. Very good song, Tori. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. I said, that's just who he is. We just sang it, right? It's who he is. It's not what he does. It's who he is. In Psalm 68:10, your congregation dwells in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord, while you were sleeping last night, was taking care of you. I said, God was providing a way. I said, God was providing a way. You don't even know. There's some things about to happen in your future you don't even know about, and God already took care of it. That's how good God is. You don't even have to worry about it. It was going to happen, but God took care of it. It's not going to happen because God was already good to you. You didn't know it. You didn't know it. How many know there's a lot of things going on in the spiritual realm you don't even know about? God was doing things for you you don't even know about. He's good. Psalm 68:10. And then Psalm 107, powerful. We'll look at it in a little bit. But all that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to his children. I love this, Romans 11:22. Consider the goodness of God on those who fell But toward your goodness, if you know, it will be severe on you as well if you continue. If you do not continue in his goodness. In other words, good and evil. If you choose to live evil, it will come on you. I mean, no, there's a judgment to come. And that's what throws people off. Pastor, that's what throws people off. They just can't understand judgment to come. If God is good, why is he judging us? Let me tell you how good he was. The judgment that you and I deserved, he took away from us and gave us Jesus. How many know Jesus is the epitome of goodness? For God so loved, you should have died. You should have been crucified. You should have been buried. I should have died for the sin that I committed, that I inherited. Right? Yet God was so good, he made a plan before Adam and Eve made a mistake. And that's, a mistake is not even the best word. It's the word the world likes. I made a mistake. How many know it's sin? It's not a mistake. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's not a drinking problem. It's sin. And so before they sinned and committed disobedience and rebelled against God's word that said, do not eat that, God had a plan from the foundation of the world. Could somebody shout with me, how good is our God? And when we don't understand it, we shrink him down to nothing. We limit God. So, what did God do? He demonstrated his love. Amen? That's love defined. Let's look at love demonstrated. He demonstrates his love through natural blessings. How many feel like you've been blessed and favored by the Lord? Just naturally blessed. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to blessing. You said yes to God. There's no other way to get to God except say yes to Jesus, right? So you got in line with the will of God when you got in line with Jesus. When Jesus came into your life, how many know joy came into your life? Peace came into your life. Love came into your life. God came into your life. The problem is when I want to be good, I just don't. Romans chapter 7, remember Paul's struggle? The things I want to do, I just don't do because I'm warring between what's good and what's not good. But God's goodness is in you. And if you'll give in to the Spirit, surrender to the Holy Spirit, goodness will come out. Amen? The fruit is there. If you don't utilize it in the Spirit, it will rot. And people will see your rottenness, my rottenness, and not glorify God. Or the fruit of goodness and glorify God. Are you getting it yet? Are you seeing this natural blessings in Psalm 145 expresses God's goodness at the lowest level. Many times we take God's goodness for granted in verse 3 and 4. Yahweh is great and highly praised. His greatness is unsearchable, and one generation will proclaim your mighty acts to the next. Verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 145 describes the older generation telling the younger generation, this is what they say. They will testify of your great goodness. How many know it would be awesome if the older generation in our church would tell the young generation, instead of kicking them around, beating them up, if they just say, hey, God's goodness was good to us, and God's going to be good to you in your generation too. It might elevate, it might bring them up, it might give them hope. Instead of saying, we had everything God had and you have nothing. How many know that's not the truth? How many believe God's still God? He's God to this generation and to every generation all the way to the end of time. God is good and God will be good. I wish somebody would help me preach. God is good. Was it good just to you? Oh, the 50s was the years to be living in America. Really? Like you thought you was all good in the 50s. Y'all were rebels then too. I mean, America wasn't any better. So we take good and it's relative. Things were good in the 50s. Well, how about a little earlier than that? It's called the Great Depression. Oh, it was good. It was really, really? Was that good, huh? And no air conditioning? You thought that was good? I'm saying thank you, God, for the air is on. I said, I'm thanking God that the air is on. You can go live in a tent and die if you want to, but I want the air conditioning. So we all relatively think about goodness. It was good. It wasn't no good. It wasn't no better. hate and evil. The 50s? I mean, wasn't racism pretty big? Oh, would y'all please help me preach? In the 50s, it was not nice. War going on in our very own country. So there was nothing good about us. No. Sorry, Fonzie. Nothing good. The Lord is good, and the Lord is good to everyone. Psalm 145. Can I tell you today, you are included in that verse. You may be here this morning and say, Pastor Ron, I don't feel that God's been good to me. I got to tell you, you believed the lie. In fact, it's self-deception. The worst deception there is not to be deceived by somebody else, but to be deceived yourself. That is self-induced pain. For you to argue with God or disbelieve God or be ungrateful to God or to think that God is not good is bad news. To be mad at the only one that can make things right, you are in a pickle. So this means there is nowhere in the universe you can go where God won't be good to you. Verse 15 through 17, more of his goodness. All eyes look to you, God, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is gracious in all his ways. He is so good to us. Can I tell you this morning, every relationship you have, every relationship, everything you have, every job, every tree, you ought to be grateful for every piece of fruit, for every little bit of gas, for every car you drive. I drove a jalopy too. I mean, all of us at some time or another in our life have to experience the old jalopy. Unless you're spoiled rotten. And there are many of those. I'm not praying that your toilet break today. I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to go through a little trouble to appreciate what you have. And my older people said, you see, older people tried to give the next generation more of a blessing. And what happened, if we don't let them struggle a little bit, are y'all hearing me? Then they become entitled, and then now God owes it to me to be good to me. God owes it to me to save me, no matter how I am. God doesn't owe anybody anything. Do you see that? So goodness, God's trying to put the fruit in you to mature you and help you grow up, just like a heavenly father is doing to us what an earthly father or mother would try to do to their children. And so every job, every tree, every taste of every bit of good food, I don't like that. I don't like that food. My mama said, too bad, child. Eat it or go to bed hungry. Did anybody live in that kind of house? Eat it or go to bed hungry. You can't survive on chicken nuggets. I love what one youth pastor asked at a general council when Thomas F. Zimmerman was the superintendent. And the youth pastor raised his hand in the council and said, Brother Zimmerman, I want to know, why doesn't the church pay youth pastors what they deserve? Brother Zimmerman said, because you can't live on that, son. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, it makes me want to shout, amen? Don't be like Israel and forget God's goodness. They forgot the Holy One of Israel. They forgot the good one. They forgot the good, good Father. They thought God wouldn't be good to them. They could always go back to Egypt and eat leeks and onions by the Nile. They thought slavery was better than walking with God in the wilderness. Can I tell you, there is no comparison. I'd rather walk with God in the valley of the shadow of death than to be in slavery. But that's how duped we are in our thinking. You look everywhere and you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Look around. It will change your spirit. It will change your mind. God is good and he's been good to you and me. Amen. And how about his divine interventions? That's another way that God demonstrates his love. We got 15 minutes. Hang in there. Psalm 107. Do you have the whole 107? Are you able to pull that scripture up? Take your time. Hurry every chance you can. I'm already done preaching with patience. Thank you. Patience is gone, y'all. And I'm praying for the rapture before it ever comes back up again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his steadfast love or goodness, you can replace that, right? Endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Stop right there, my brother. I want you to see that the Lord is demonstrating his love through divine interventions. It's all about this. He opens with joy. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is faithful. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And then he gives four different interventions, and that's probably all I'm going to be able to do today. I'm not finished. I'll finish some tonight. I'll go on tonight. But these things I want to give to you. First thing he does in verses 4 through 9. Let's look at it. 3. Verse 3. And gathered it from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. In other words, God from everywhere. He's gathering all your provisions from everywhere. God is good. Now verse 4. Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. These are people searching. They're hungry and they're thirsty. Their souls fainting within them. And then they cried to the Lord. Listen how good he is, how he intervenes in the hearts and lives of people who are searching tirelessly to be filled with something. And said, he said, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. How many know the Lord will heal all of our diseases? If we call on the Lord, he'll help us. Next verse, he led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Stop right there. Maybe one more. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Next verse. Some sat in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Stop right there. So the King James, I don't know what verse, it's ESV. Can you flip that to King James instead of ESV? I don't know if you can do that or you can leave it there. But the King James, leave it there. I'll quote it. Oh, that men would praise his name, for the Lord has been good to us. Oh, that men should praise his name. So he's saying that he's intervening because he's rescuing these frantically searching people from, they're looking for something or someone to satisfy their soul. And they cry out, and the Bible says he will deliver them. And then the next one says, God intervenes for those who have rebelled against his word. They've rebelled against his word. How many know, even when we rebel against his word, like Adam and Eve did, he still is good. Is anybody thankful for that? Aren't you glad for a God that says you got one? He don't say you got one chance. You rebelled against my word. You're dead in the water. Plague, death, over. No, when he said it's over was when he was on the cross. And he said, it is finished. Satan can't destroy my people anymore because I have given my very own blood. I am the provision for you. I am good no matter if you're not good or not. But if you'll receive me, you'll receive the goodness that I have for you. It's almost as though God has a reservation of goodness. I want you to picture this. God has a reservoir, a bank, a river of goodness waiting for you to tap into. And even when you rebel against him and you spurn the counsel of the mighty God, keep reading with me, verse 12. Look what he says. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. So they had to pay for it. Even, are you seeing what I'm saying? There is consequences to your rebellion. He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. You see that? Next verse. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. He broke their chains, King James says. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's talking about the goodness of God. He goes and shatters the doors of the bronze that cuts into the bars of iron. Look at that. Some were fools. Here's another one way he intervenes. Some were fools, it says, through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. Now, they suffered affliction because of the consequences of sin. Sin has wages. But you have a choice. You have a sinful nature, and you have a spiritual nature. You give in to the flesh and you sin, you'll have consequences. Does everybody understand that? Because I think the world is just oblivious to that. They don't understand that sin will cause a repercussion of consequential things that happen to your life. You know, it happens. And so they loathe any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They were dying because of this. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivered them from their distress. Isn't that powerful? I hope you're getting this. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Next one. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful work to the children of men. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his wonderful goodness and his works, his good works to the children of men. Even when it's undeserved, even when nobody is deserving of it, if you call out, are you hearing me? They suffered for it, but when they repent, he delivers and breaks the chains, turns their night into day, hallelujah. And then God intervened for the foolish man who waddled in sin, bringing death to their relationships and everything else. And when you cry out to the Lord, he heals us, reserves and preserves the killing effects of sin in you. You should have died. I should have died. We should have died. But how many are glad Jesus came? See, now the coming of Jesus means a whole lot more than just a Messiah or some good prophet and teacher in Israel. Are you seeing that? If God didn't give us Jesus, we would be in a bad way. I don't know about you, but I'm getting thankful for the Lord. I feel the goodness of God, amen, intervening. And we call on our good God. Let's go on a little further. I like reading scriptures. It might be all they get out of it. And they sing with rejoicing. Verse 23, some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. And they saw the deeds of the Lord and his wonderful works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves in the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and then they went down to the deeps. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They were dying. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Stop right there. I just want to stop right there. They were at their wits' end. I just wanted to close today to see if anybody's at their wits' end. They were seasick and felt like they were dying. And the storm and the calamity came up. It rains on the just and the unjust. Calamity comes into the life. Death comes into the life of the believer. Sickness comes into the life of the believer. You don't want to blame God for that. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But Satan will say to you, if God loved you, why am I so sick? Why doesn't he heal me? All of those things. They come from a misconstrued idea about the goodness of our God. So I hope you're getting this. Next slide. 27, 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. And he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. I feel a holy hush in this room. Somebody may be in the middle of a storm. A tempest may be blowing in your life. And you're confused because you're born again. You're confused because you're a tongue-talking, Bible-toting believer. And yet trouble has come on the seas of life. And you're dizzy and you're seasick and you don't know if you're going to live or die. But God is here.